Mama said. What'd Mama say today? Can y'all help me, church? Mama said what? You gotta give God His. Now, would y'all wake up? Are y'all all right this morning? Say, come on, I can't do this with you. Here we go. Come on. Come on. Mama said, help me now. You gotta give God His. Now we're talking. There we go. Mama said, you gotta give God His first. Let's roll it, Raj. A lot of stuff here. I remember the gleam in my mama's eyes when I'd go home to her little country church. It's my church too. But as I got older and in the ministry and preaching, I'd travel back to Rockingham, North Carolina. And I'd be the preacher that Sunday morning. But I would go into the audience and I'd sit with my mama. While the singers would sing and the choir, I'd sit with mama. Then that offering plate would come rolling by. And mama would be sitting there, and when that offering came by, she'd take that offering, as she put it in that plate, she'd look at me, and she'd say, you got to give God His first. I'll never forget it. The gleam in her eye. She wasn't clutching on to, she just, something about it. And I thought today, that's what I'd be talking about, was how mama gave her offering to the church. I thought that's what I was going to talk to you guys about today. But as I thought about it, that gleam in her eye, there was something deeper, in my mama's life. That was just a byproduct of something that had happened deep down inside of my mama. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So I want to talk a little bit about that today. She was happy. She was happy to give because something had happened in her life. Jesus Christ had come into my mama's life, changed her life. I want to talk about this morning. With a smile, she would say it with me, you got to give. Amen. You're getting it, church. Come on. By the time I get done with you this morning, you're going to have it. Let's keep rolling. That attitude of giving and living for God permeated my mother's life. It was crazy. If you got to know her, you'd see this giving attitude. It was incredible, the way that she would give and serve. And you're going to see it a little bit today. But it was way deeper than that offering on Sunday. And I started thinking about it. I sat at my desk this week, and sometimes it takes me 4 or 5 hours to write a message. And then it takes me more time to go back and get scripture and this, that, and the other, and then get with the team and put it all together. But this message, I'm sitting there writing and writing and crying and writing in about 20 minutes. Then I had to do other things with it, but I'm sitting there crying. When I started thinking about, you got to give God His first. When my mama came to Jesus, she was a wreck. Can you say that? She had nothing but what? Sorrow. So many people think they're going to come to Jesus when they get their act together. No, you came to you. You hearing me say? She was a wreck. She came empty-handed. She had nothing. Didn't have a car. We were just miserable. And she came to Jesus Christ. So don't be talking to me about how bad Jesus is. Amen? Say, He's been good to me. I'll tell you that right now. Okay? Bad stuff happens to all of us, but He is always good. I'm telling you right now. On December the 18th, 1977, my mama made the decision. She made the decision to personally put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Nobody made that decision for her, and nobody can make it for you. She made that decision as a wreck, as somebody in sorrow, as somebody with nothing. She made the decision to put her faith in Jesus Christ. I was there when it happened. She knew very little, but she accepted best she knew how that Jesus was real and that He really loved her. Just best she knew how. Have you ever heard me pray like that around here at the end of a service? Just, Jesus, best I know how. You know where I got that from, don't you? She'd look at me and say, Gary, you got to give God His first. And I thought of three things as I was writing this week. What was it that Mama did that got her to the place when she would, that offering plate would pass by or whatever, she'd have that gleam in her eye. Number one, would you say it with me? She gave God her heart. And can we do that a little bit louder if you don't mind? She gave God her heart. That's why I love saying here at Fellowship, if you can't give cheerfully, keep it. I would rather you come and be in this room with me and you give God your heart first. You hearing me say? You're not going to impress me by what you put in the offering plate. I care about you. I want you to give your heart to the God who loves you. Then I've done something. Amen? Then I feel like I matter. And I feel like what we're doing matters. Amen? She gave God her heart first. Here's what Mama said. If you'll have me, here I am. She didn't feel like she was worth anything. And she just, if you'll have me, here I am. And here's what God said. Pop it up. Say it with me. I'll have you. Come on. Have you done that? Have you told God, if you'll have me, here I am. Amen? And you know what he's going to say to you? I'll have you. You see why I'm sitting in my office crying a little? I'm reliving sometimes. This is a quote that I've used for years. It's the start that stops most people. It's the start that stops most people. Business or whatever. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go do this. It's the start. You can have all the big ideas. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I think we might just go do it. Listen, it's the start that stops most people. Say that with me. It's the start that stops most people. And you're here today. You're in this room today. You know better than I do, don't you, about how to get to heaven. You got it all figured out. Here's the problem. You're not willing to give God your heart. It's the start that's stopping you. It's that taking that step of if you'll have me, here I am. You understand? What do? We come up with a million excuses why I can't give God my heart. I've heard them all. Well, I don't know. He don't, you know. Send me to Africa. Make me a missionary. Crazy stuff I've heard. You know? He's going to make my life miserable. I haven't had a miserable life. Did y'all know that say? I've had problems in my life. I've had people do me wrong. But I tell you what, Clark's a pretty happy guy. Did y'all know that or not? I'm doing all right. God's blessed me. Amen. Come on. It's the start that stops most people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why in the world would you not believe on Jesus when God loves you so much? Amen. You hearing me today? Mama said, if you'll have me, here I am. Romans 10:9 says, if you'll confess with your mouth, if you'll pray, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you'll believe in your heart, that's your own will, your own emotion, your own decision. If you'll believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You'll be a child of God. You'll be a Christian. Amen? It's the start that stops most people. What's stopping you today from doing that? You hearing me? Am I getting on your nerves or what? Come on. Here we go. Mama said, you got to give God his first, boy. Mama gave God her heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Say that with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Isn't it funny how we come up with a million excuses and instead of trusting God with our heart, we trust our own understanding. Is that true? Well, you know, Mama just finally, she said, you know what? I'm just going to give God my heart. And her life changed. Incredible. He wants you. He loves you. He accepts you right where you are. How many believe the lie that you've got to get, you had to get your act all together before God would help you? Can I see some hands in the house? You thought that. Yeah, you thought that. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to. How can he love me? I got to do. Did you know what? He loves you. He accepts you. He cares for you right where you are. It's not him that's stopping you. It's you that's stopping you from having this new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it's all about, man. If you'll have me, here I am. And God will tell you, say it with me, I'll have you. Now don't go to sleep on me. I know this ain't one of my screaming messages, all right? So hang in here. Mama said you got to give God his first. Let's keep looking. So I'm riding along, and that's why Mama could give like she did. She gave God her heart. And then she gave God her what? Her life. See, there's a difference. When you come to Jesus, you give him your heart. You put your faith in him. But then, are you going to do anything or not? You going to have any change in your life or not? Mama said, I need that. So she gave God her life. She said, I am what I am. Okay? But if you can use me, then use me, God. If you can use me, then use me. And guess what God said? Somebody's like, well, I'll guess. Isn't that cool? Have you ever felt like you're not worth God using? Yeah. That's crazy, guys. If you'll tell God, listen, if you'll tell God, I am what I am, I don't necessarily think I got much, but if you can use my life, then here I am. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, you come here. And I'm going to use you. Amen. Reminds me of a story in the Bible. John 4, the woman at the well. Say that with me. The woman at the well. So Jesus answered. This woman started talking to him. He's trying to get some water from this well. Talking to a Samaritan woman. They didn't want him talking to her. And it was really taboo to talk to a woman that day. And especially a Samaritan woman. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water that you're giving is going to thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him or her shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, say it with me, sir, give me this that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw again. Amen? That's some good stuff. Jesus said, I can give you this new life. Your life can be different. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak to you am he. Whoa. And upon this came his disciples. They marveled that he was talking with the woman. I love this. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Why are you talking to her? It's funny, ain't it? Jesus talked who he wanted to talk to. Is that correct? Yes or no? The woman then left her water pot. Interesting. She went her way into the city, and she said unto the men, and she was known around town and of the men, been married 4 times, living with the 5th. She said, come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came unto him, and look at this, and many of them believed. Many of them believed. You know what? If you give God your heart, and then you give God your life, you'd be surprised what God can do with you. Are you hearing me? Miss Marjorie, do you agree with me? Would you ever see yourself doing what you do at Pregnancy Solutions, working with pregnant teenage girls and others that come, and you're able to see those little babies live and rescue lives? You'd have never dreamed it in your life, would you? Isn't it incredible what God can do? Isn't it great? Say. The woman at the well or my mother's life didn't seem like it was much to give, but she gave it anyway. She gave it anyway, man. And I just want to take you back to my hometown a little bit. She started at her little country church loving people. This is the church I went to, Temple Baptist Church, she went to. She had been a waitress for years. And Mama had good communication skills. Okay? She didn't ever graduate high school, but she learned how to communicate at Revel's Barbecue Lodge. Brother, if you can talk barbecue, you can talk. I tell you that right now. But she, right there, I'm telling you, she was the one, you come in those glass doors, and it was like a little, I don't know, horseshoe-looking thing like that, and she is in the middle, and there's seats up here, and there's seats up here, and booths over here, and booths over here. And Mama, that was her room. There was other waitresses over here. But man, she ran that thing right there. Amen. Made a lot of people happy right there in that room, feeding barbecue. So she had some skills that she didn't even know she had. And she didn't know how to use them, really, for God. But you know what? She gave God her life, and all of a sudden, these communication skills that she had, God started using them. Have I lost you so far? Are you asleep or not? Good. I hope not. She started using those for God. She brought a love. This is a woman who'd been a hell raiser, you just name it. She brought a love into that little country church. It changed it forever. That's my mama right there in the middle with the blue and the red on. She started a little group that started loving on the preacher and caring for the pastor and his wife and making sure they had everything they needed. Just little simple things. She took that love and started communicating it to the people of the town that I grew up in, a town called Rockingham. Wherever she would go, it'd be to the bank or whatever she did, to the hardware store, the grocery store. She just had the way of talking to people. And but my gosh, in just a short period of time, everybody, well, they knew her from the restaurant, see. They knew that crazy woman that ran that restaurant. She was a lunatic. Jesus came into her life, and now she's all around town, different chains. And boy, did she make an impact on Rockingham. It's incredible. Matter of fact, just a week after my mother's murder, a reporter wrote me a letter. It's dated December the 5th, 1993. I've never read this. I've preached a message about my mother all over the place. But I've never read this letter. You don't know it, but I sat at my desk. And I've got three drawers on the left in the front and three drawers on the right. And this letter stays in the second drawer on the top. And sometimes I'll pull it out and read it. I've done it for years. To encourage myself. I want to read it to you today. Dear Gary, like so many others, the death of your mother has been a tremendous shock to me and a huge loss to Temple Baptist Church and to the community. I'm, of course, not a member of Temple Baptist, but I have had close ties with the church and with the pastor Joey and Linda to this day. But I think it shows how far-reaching the influence of your mother's life went. I've met a lot of people through my work at the newspaper, and many of them bring something in about their children they want to get published. But Ann Clark Riley, made herself different. It was that sparkle in her eye and that piercing Christ-like love that broke through surface casual conversation. There's no doubt how much she loved you, and I'm always touched by that. But there's no doubt how much she loved me either. She made me feel like I was a part of her family too. Gary, I don't know. I doubt your life and mine will ever cross paths again until we get to heaven. But I've had a chance to meet you thanks to a mother's love for her son. Please let this letter be my way of saying your mother was an exceptional woman. And she set herself apart from the run-of-the-mill Christian. I'm truly sorry she was stolen from you in the manner in which she died. You have my deeply felt sympathy. I'll miss Ann too. Jeff Holland. Isn't that a great letter? Give God your life. Give God your life. You can make a difference in a crazy town called Inglewood. Did you know that? If you'll let him. She did. Mama said what? You got to give God his what? First. Let's keep looking. The third thing, and I'm not much longer this morning. She gave God her what? Well, you might sit out there and think, well, yeah, she gave God her all because she didn't have much. I'll take her over an attitude like you coming out of you any day of the week. Amen. Seems like I'm always trying to pick a fight on stage, isn't it? Is that right, Dice? He dies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here we go. Mama said this, if you can use this, say it with me, then you can what? Say that again. If you can use, then you can. Isn't that a great attitude? And you know what God says when you do that? I can use that. You might say, well, I don't have much. It's not much. God goes, I can use that. That's what he says. You might wonder why I say when we give here at Fellowship, give cheerful. Well, it's because it's in the Bible. It's from the Bible. 2 Corinthians 9. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly help me, or of necessity help me, for God loveth a cheerful givers, right there in the Word. For God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Amen? Quit worrying about if you give to God this or that, if you're going to be okay. He's going to take care of you. Not ask you to be a lunatic, a fool, a nut. But come on, give God your all and see what he'll do with it. My mama was amazed that God could use the little things she had to give. And I could have gone forever on this. I just want you to see what mama gave. In case you think, well, what can I do? I don't know what I can do. She gave small gifts to others, little things. Vegetables from her garden. A piece of pie or cake. You ever tried that? Say. Little piece of pie or cake to a neighbor somewhere or somebody. If you do that, you'd be amazed how God could use a little piece of pie or cake. A hanging basket. Some flowers. I watched her do this. Toiletries. Are you kidding me? I can go give somebody toilet paper or something like that and make a difference in their world if they ain't got none. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be ugly about it, but Mama had a little closet in the house where she would do rebating and stuff like that. And I'm going to just say it straight up. There were women in the church that didn't have feminine products and stuff like that. Mama would put them in a little bag. She'd go give it to them. Yard work. Just going somewhere and doing some yard work for somebody. A quilt. Or a little cross-stitch piece when she'd sit, she'd work on. She wouldn't work so they could be all over the house so she could look at all of them. Are you kidding me? She'd do it so she could give it to somebody. Rebate checks. Mama loved to get a little rebate. But instead of keeping the rebate herself, she'd send it to other people. I was getting 10 a month. Go to my mailbox. There's a $5 rebate check. It was the craziest thing. And when she was murdered, they kept coming for about 3 months. And I got a stack of them. I never cashed them. Isn't that crazy? Flea market proceeds. Mama would pick stuff up by the road. I did it yesterday. I embarrassed Danny. I was at Alex and Donna's house the other night for dinner. And I asked Alex and Donna, we're talking about people that have quirks. And so I asked them, they're talking about quirks, and I said to Alex, I said, do I have a quirk? Stop it, girl! And Alex said, because he works for me, he's got to watch it, you know. He said, you do have a tendency to be riding down the road and just immediately stop and fly the door open and pick something up. So we're riding from the beach last night after a wedding we had to perform, Danny and I. I'm coming over that first little bridge coming back from the beach. Before I get to Tom Adams, I'm over that one little bridge. And there's a nice towel laying in the road. What's wrong with that, Rog? You washed the towel. I didn't pick it up. I didn't pick it up. I didn't touch me. I had Danny get it. Danny's like, what? I go, get a towel, Danny. And I didn't pull over. There's no room to pull it. I'm stopped in my big Titan with Fellowship all over it. And a van full of hell. No, they screamed things, but they didn't scream that word. And so, of course, I go real slow after that in my truck. And pull up next to him in the light and say that to my face. Didn't we, Danny? Danny was like, Gary, don't worry about it. It's craziness, amen? So, yes, I've got a few quirks, amen? But Mama would pick up stuff and junk, and people would have stuff that she didn't think they ought to throw away, and she'd take it and save it and take it to the flea market on Saturday, set up a little table. She'd take all the proceeds and support some missionary in China. Isn't that crazy? You got to give God his what? Come on, but you got to give him your all. Coupon savings. She couponed on things, so not so much as she'd save money for herself, but so she'd have more money she could give to other people. It's incredible. How about giving time for people? Can you do this? You say, Pastor, I don't have nothing to give. Do you have time? Sure you do. How about providing transportation? That's what she did. Oh, by the way, because she later on got a car and didn't have to walk anymore. It's amazing how God will take care of you. Words of encouragement. Can you give that? Do you think the Lord would want your word of encouragement to somebody? Say, you see where I'm coming from? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Amen. She gave her all. My mother became one of the biggest givers at that little country church. Matter of fact, they named the big fellowship hall after my mama. You go into that place today, and there's a picture of her when you walk in with a plaque. I love going back there. Mama said you got to give God his first. Tell you something she did. Now, this is important. I know I'm going a little. I thought I was going to be done. I'm not. Hang in here with me. If you were talking about your mom, I'd sit there and listen. Here we go. Come on. The Dorcas ministry. In Acts 9, verse 36, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation, her name was called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that when she was sick, she died. So Dorcas died. Whom when they had washed her, got her ready, laid her in the upper chamber, prepared the body. And for as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay and come to them. And Peter rose, he went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber where this dead body lay. And all the widows stood by him weeping, crying, showing the coats, the garments, which who made? Dorcas, while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth. Y'all get out of here. He kneeled down, he prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, which is the word Dorcas, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Crazy story in the Bible. And he gave her hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many what? Believed in the Lord. Now, why do I put that on the screen? It's interesting. I got an email on Mother's Day, 2011, from a dear friend of mine. And she's sitting here on the second row. She actually had gone through my hometown a few months earlier. Went by the church. And I mean, she didn't live anywhere by there. She went way out of the way just to go to a place called Rockingham. Because my mother and my life had impressed her so much. It was worth the ride. She wrote me an email. Let me read it to you. Hi, Pastor. I should let you read it. Here's what I'm writing about today. I want to be certain that you know the details of how the Dorcas ministry, a ministry my mother started, became a reality in Rockingham. I know you're aware your mama and Oreen, that's a best friend of hers, started the Dorcas ministry at Temple. I noticed you didn't mention that today when you were talking about her. That was on Mother's Day. Now, maybe you just didn't want to mention everything she did, but I think it might be important to let the crowd know how the ministry came about. O'Reen shared the story with me when I was there at Christmas. You probably know it, but just in case. Have you ever had somebody tell you your stuff and you know it and they're trying to tell you that? They, your mama and O'Reen, were in the car returning from a Bible study lunch, and they started talking about the many hurting people and their needs within the community and in the church. O'Reen says your mama was very burdened about the sadness and difficult situations other people were encountering. Well, out of that conversation, your mama and O'Reen came up with starting a group to help others in need. O'Reen says your mama felt such an urgency about it that she said, let's turn the car around and go talk to the pastor, Joey Bird, right now. And that's exactly what they did. Pastor was in his office. They approached him about the idea, and he said something like, go for it. And, of course, the Dorcas Ministry was born. Of course, I'm crying now. But anyway, they birthed a ministry that's still in existence today, still helping people, still giving hope and encouragement, and still loving people. Sometimes congregations think all the programs and projects have to be thought of by the pastor or some church official. Your mama's story shows that when God places something in your heart, He wants you to find a way to make it happen. God used your mama's hurt and sadness to connect with others and make them feel included and important. That's her legacy. Well, part of her legacy. Pastor, I'm mentioning this as humbly as possible. I don't want to appear bossy. Oh, no, you would never do that. I just wanted to be certain that you had all the details. We love you. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. You won't write anymore? That's funny. Now I'm done. Hang in here. Dorcas died, came back to life. Well, my mama wasn't dead and brought back to life like Dorcas. But my mama was brought back to life. She was born again. And she was given a new life in Jesus Christ. And just like after Dorcas, many people believed, just like after my mama became a new child of God, many believed. It's incredible. Mama said, what now? You got to do what? Y'all understand a little bit better now maybe why she said what she said? Really weren't about that offer. You know what I'm saying? A whole lot more went into it before that. One last letter. I was sitting at my desk writing this message this week. I'm about done. Tears are streaming down my face. And my cell phone rings. It was my mama's pastor. He said, Gary, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting here crying like a baby. And I talked to him about the message. And he and I cried together on the phone. And he told me things about my mother. He said, when I moved to Rockingham, he's my age. He was just a young preacher. He said, when I moved to Rockingham, he's from the mountains. When you move into a new place in the mountains, they give you what's called a pounding. That's a box full of a pound of this and a pound of that and a pound of this and a pound of that and a pound of this. And they'll bring boxes to your house so that you can get started and have some food. You know what I'm saying? That's the way folks are in the country, especially up in the mountains. I'd really never heard it called that, to be honest with you. But anyway, he said, when I got to Rockingham, your mama gave me a pounding. And I'm like, what? I've wanted to pop him a few times, but anyway, he said she came to my house. I moved in. He's single. And she brought this box of food and stuff. And there was a girl with her. Linda. He ended up marrying Linda about 10 years later. Is that incredible or what? So he's crying. He's telling me other stuff. And I said, will you just write it down and let me read it to the folks, something that you have to say. So this is a letter from her pastor all these years later. When I think of Ann Riley, many fond memories parade through my mind. I see her sweat rag working on the church landscape. Red tips and pampas grass with a rose of Sharon planted carefully to make the church look special. I see across my desk asking to start a ministry to those in need. This was the beginning of the Dorcas ministry, which has helped scores of people around the world. I remember as a lonely pastor, overwhelmed by responsibilities, a knock at my door early one evening. It was Mrs. Riley with several bags of groceries. With her contagious smile, she reassured me that everything was going to be all right. She visited later, Linda and I and the children one evening when we lived in a very small house behind the church. She said it was time for us to have a bigger place. You're my pastor, and you're going to have a nice place, she insisted, soon after we moved into a nicer place. I remember just before she was murdered coming to the altar, her coming to the altar and praying for her husband, we called him Riley, hoping he would come to know the Lord. She had been threatened, beaten, and deprived, but she still prayed for him and claimed Romans 8:28. I remember the night of her death. She was praising the Lord for His goodness and grace. I followed her to the parking lot after the service and saw her new used pickup truck. She talked about all the things she could do for the Lord now that she had transportation ministry minded to the end. On and on I could go, but I close with a quote from Theodore Roosevelt. There's never been a man or woman in our history who led a life of ease whose name is worth remembering. Anne Riley is worth remembering. Isn't that incredible? What'd Mama say? You got to give God His what? Wow. Give God your heart. And He'll say, I'll have you. Give God your life. He'll say, I'll use you. Give God your all. He'll say, I'll take care of you. You'll be fine. Amen?